read comes very easy to us. But then there are other times when we read the scripture and it's not only that we find it hard to comprehend. I think it's more of a difficulty when we read something we don't really want to hear God say. When what he says becomes difficult for us to obey. Amen. And so it's easier sometimes for us to ignore those passages of scripture that, you know, we don't want to even pay much attention to. It's easier when it says, sometimes when it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's easy for some of us because some of us don't do that, right? But maybe it's harder when it says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We sometimes say we love the Lord, but we find it difficult, perhaps, to love our neighbor. And so that part of the scripture we leave unsaid. We kind of ignore it. Well, what God says, he means at all times. His word doesn't change. Okay? And whether we ignore what he says or not, it's still what he demands of us. Amen? So reading the Bible is hard in the end because it challenges us to change. Our pastor is always saying, if we change the way you think, we'll change the way you live. Amen? So let's turn to Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. Amen. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Well, simple in some ways and kind of difficult in others, because in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What about those difficult and painful situations? How can you be grateful for suffering? It seems to make no sense at all, does it? If I were writing scripture, I would say, in most things, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because it's easy to be grateful for the good things in life. A newborn baby, a promotion on your job, a new house, car, encouraging news from a doctor. But what if you just lost your job? What if you discover that your child was on drugs? What if you are told by your doctor that you only have 6 months to live? How can God expect you to be grateful for that? How many of us would be grateful for that? How many of us would praise the Lord with news like that? I faced something similar to that just a couple of weeks ago. I left here and went to the emergency ward. I was so sick. I don't remember feeling as sick as I did that particular day. Actually, I thought I was having a heart attack because they say it creeps up on women differently than men. So I had the nausea and the shortness of breath and all that good stuff. And they ran all kinds of tests, and I had CAT scan and x-rays and all that stuff. And so they finally found out that I had an E. coli staph infection. And then 4 days I was in there. It wasn't until the last day that a CNA actually came and asked me if I needed some water to wash myself and some clean gowns. And so during that time, you know, we don't always comprehend and understand why God is allowing us to go through the things that we go through. But one thing I've learned, God has a plan, He has a purpose, and you never go through anything without Him seeing you through it if you trust Him. Amen. So even in that time of illness and concern, and even in that time when I wasn't sure, quite sure what was going to happen to me, I knew that God had my back. Amen. And so to give thanks in all circumstances, if you're a true child of God, it ain't really quite so difficult. We may not understand why we go through what we go through, but we know that God won't let us go through it alone. Amen. Gratitude impacts our every area of our lives. By giving us the command to always give thanks, God is not rubbing salt into our wounds or calling us to set aside reason, because He knows that being thankful in all circumstances has a powerful impact on every area of our Christian lives. Amen. And I mean every area of your life. See, not only does it benefit you to go through some of the stuff we go through, because through those circumstances, we gain strength, amen, and a deeper connection or a stronger connection to Christ, but the folk around us become encouraged through us by the way we handle our difficulties. Amen? Gratitude keeps us continually aware that the Lord is close by. The Bible says He never leaves us. Even in our down times, He is always there. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. Nothing can separate us from that. All we have to do is trust Him and believe that He knows what He's doing, that He never makes a mistake, and that it is all for our good. He never leaves us alone so we can go through. He never leaves us where we are. Even though David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," it's just that, walking through. We're not going to stay there. We're not going to stagnate. We're not going to stay there and rot and stink. God is going to bring us through all of that. And during that process, we become, let's say that's a purifying process, amen? Because we gain strength, we gain power, and we gain a closer walk with Him. Amen. It motivates us to look for His purpose in our circumstances. Knowing that the Lord allows hurt and trouble for His good purposes kind of takes the edge off of pain. Even if we don't understand why we're going through suffering, we can thank God because we know that in His time, He'll work it all out for our good. In the meantime, we can rest in the knowledge that He's using every hardship, every trial, every illness, every disappointment. He's using that to transform us into the image of his son. Someone turn to Romans chapter 8 and read verses 28 and 29. Yes. Amen. So he knew us before we ever entered our mother's womb. Amen. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew what we were going to be going through. He knew how we would react to those things we go through. He knows everything about us. Nothing about us surprises him. So nothing about him should surprise us. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving helps us bring our will into submission to God. When the situation we're experiencing is the last thing we'd ever want, thanking the Lord is a giant step toward being able to follow Christ's example and say, "Not my will, but yours be done." And we can find those words in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Amen. Gratitude helps us acknowledge that God's will is best, even if it's hard. In that way, we're able to release our hold on what we want. Although the circumstances may remain the same, submission changes our heart. If we just take the time and just sometimes remember those things that God has already brought us through. If we just remember that he is all powerful, all knowing. If we just remember that he's the sovereign God and that he can do anything but fail. If we just remember the circumstances that he's already brought us through and thank him for that, you know. He has always been faithful. He has always been kind. He has always been patient with us. Even when we are contrary to his word, he still loves us. He still gathers us close to his bosom. Amen. God is faithful and just. Amen. We serve a mighty good God, a God of peace and a God of joy, a God of understanding, a God of forgiveness, so that no matter where we are in our lives, even when we fall short, he is always there to lift, to fill, to encourage, to enlighten, to empower. God is always there doing what only he can do. Amen? Amen. So praise him in good times. And praise him in bad times. Praise him in up times and praise him in down times. Because even in your down times, you know he's not going to leave you there. Amen. It reminds us, Thanksgiving reminds us of our continual reliance upon the Lord. Pride, adequacy, and independence evaporate whenever we're trapped in a situation that leaves us helpless and hopeless. If there's no way out, thanking God for his control over all things reminds us that he alone is our strength. Amen. I think I've recited this poem to you guys over and over again, and it's because the first time I read it, it touched my heart in such a way that I've never been able to forget. And it's been over 40 years now. I read this poem in the Philadelphia Daily News, they used to have a little piece in the paper that was called The Poet's Corner. And this particular poem was anonymous. And the first time I read it, it struck a chord. And it goes, as children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and said, how could you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never did let go. It's a good lesson in that poem. God is the one, the only one, that can change things. God is the one, the only one, with all power in his hands. He has the power to heal illnesses. He has the power to set the captive free. He has the power to change the situations that we find ourselves in. We cannot change anything ourselves. Hard as we may try, we do not have the power to make those changes. We can't change ourselves from bad to good. We cannot change ourselves from unrighteous to righteous. We cannot change ourselves to loving our neighbor instead of being nasty. We can't do that. That's a supernatural power within us. That comes only from God. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. He is the God of the cosmos, which means he's the God of everything. And we need to stop trying to put him in a box, say he's this, he's that, he's the other. We don't know the extent to which God is. Not for real, for real, we don't. We get a good glimpse of who he is through his word, but he is ever so much more than that. And we need to try to kind of grasp a little bit just how, you know, we say God is good all the time. That's not saying much about God because he's ever so much bigger than that. You know, God is great. That's not enough because he is so much bigger than that. You know, so we need to stop putting him in a little box and try to expand our minds just a little bit more to try to grasp exactly who he is. And he tries to show us that in his word. Unfortunately, we got puny little brains. and we might get some of it some of the time, but we don't get all of it all of the time. Amen? Amen. Now, you know, y'all can stop me at any time and we could have a good conversation going. If you... I really like it when folk talk back to me. Yeah, so anytime somebody wants to jump in, it's fine with me. Amen. Thankfulness is an essential ingredient for joy. There's no way to rejoice always, like verse 16 says, without giving thanks in everything, as verse 18 says. That's why ungrateful people are so grumpy. Joy is an inner sense of contentment, which flows from a deep assurance that all God's purposes are good and he's in complete control of every situation. And with that kind of supernatural joy, it's easy to be thankful. Amen. It's that kind of joy. Happiness comes from happenings, but joy only comes from the Lord. Amen. Real joy is a deep, abiding assurance that he is our God, that he loves us, that there's nothing he can't do, and that there's no one will he ever turn away. whosoever will, he says, let them come. And even in our filthiness, even though we're like dirty rags, dirty, filthy rags, he gathers us close to him. Amen. Hugs us to him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And loves us anyhow. Aren't you glad he's that kind of God? I know I am. Because I'd be in big trouble otherwise. I know that I'm not all I ought to be. I know I fall short. I make mistakes. I get ugly sometimes. I say ugly things sometimes. But I also know that even then he still loves me. And he gives me another chance. Another chance to get things. He's not a God of a second chance. He's a God of one chance after another. Over and over again, he forgives, he loves, and he keeps on filling us and using us. You know, I used to wonder, and well, I still wonder sometimes why God chose to use me as his one of his mouthpieces. I'm not so eloquent. I'm not so well-versed. I'm not so intelligent, you know. There's still a lot for me to learn, but he chooses to use me. Yeah. Now, I thank him for that, but I'm still puzzled over it. And I'm sure that a lot of us sitting here right now, if we think about it and be honest with ourselves about who we are, you'll wonder too, why in the world would he choose to love me? Why in the world would he choose to use me? Why in the world, you know? He gives me a singing voice. He gives me understanding. He gives me that hospitality ministry so I can stand at the door and greet folk. Why in the world would he use me to count the finances of the church? Why in the world would he use me to make sure that his household is clean? I mean, we could go on and on and on. But the fact is, we'll never know. We'll never quite comprehend how much he loves us. Amen? Amen. A grateful attitude strengthens our witness to the unbeliever. The world is filled with people who are angry, who are frustrated, who are overwhelmed with the difficulties of life. But a believer with a grateful attitude is like a light shining in the darkness. The people around you will want to know why you don't grumble and complain the way everyone else does. Sorry. Then you can tell them about your amazing Savior. That amazing Savior who picked you up even in your filthiness. That amazing Savior who turned your whole life around. That amazing Savior who, although you're not everything you ought to be, you're not what you used to be either. That amazing Savior who changed your whole life. You did almost a 180-degree turn. That amazing Savior. And only he could do that. Amen. And the folk around you can get encouragement from that. The folk around you will want to know, well, what is up with her? Or what is up with him? How come he can handle things so well? How come, you know, and look at you and say, well, I want some of that. I want to be like that. Amen. Thankfulness, thanking God, focuses our attention on him rather than on our circumstances. The key to a grateful heart begins with understanding God's character, because knowing his awesome attributes motivates trust and gratitude. He knows exactly what we're going through. He loves us unconditionally. He understands us perfectly. When we thank him in tough times, he gets bigger and our circumstances get smaller. Amen. The Apostle Paul is an amazing example of a man who suffered extreme hardship, yet remained thankful. In Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is, Paul goes through his pedigree and he boasts about he's a Hebrew of Hebrews, that he's a Pharisee, that nobody had more zeal than he with persecuting the way folk, the Christians, right? And he stood on, he was Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says. And he even had a Roman lineage, okay? So he was very proud of his heritage. But then you turn to the very next chapter, in chapter 4, and Paul, good morning, Paul talks about he knows how to be abased, and he knows how to abound. He knows both how to be full and to be empty. And then he goes on to say, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul went through, according to Paul, more beatings than anybody else, more hardships than anyone else. He was thrown in prison more than anyone else. He said he counted all those other things, his pedigree and everything else, nothing but loss. He didn't worry about that, okay? He said, I've learned to do without all that, for through Christ, in his weakness, he gained the strength of Christ. Amen. So that thorn in the flesh, and we really don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, because it's never been quite clear. Could have been epilepsy or any kind of illness. But whatever that was, it kept Paul humble and it kept him thankful. Amen. It kept him grateful. And so if we're going through some really hard times, does it sound so foolish to say, thank you, Father, for these hard times? If our bodies are filled with pain, perhaps we have an incurable illness, does it sound so foolish as to say, thank you, Father, for the pain? Thank you for the illness. Thank you for what I'm going through right now. If you're going through a period of loss, through death or divorce or whatever the separation may be, is it so difficult to thank God for even the loss? Because we know that sometimes God allows us to go through loss just to give us something better. Amen. Does it sound so foolish when there's heartbreak and pain and chaos and confusion and we don't know which way is up? We don't know how to get through or get past what we're going through. And we can say, thank you, Father. Even in chaos and confusion, does that sound silly to you? Or does it sound like a closer walk with him? Does it sound like you're grateful just to be alive? Does it sound like you're thankful just for knowing that he's in your life? That blessed assurance song that you know that Jesus is yours, that he walks with you and talks with you, that he's always reaching down to lift you when you fall down, that he's always there with an open heart and open arms to forgive you when you've fallen short, that he's always there, no matter the circumstance. Amen? Paul is comparing our situations here on earth with what awaits us in eternity. To him, a 40-year stretch of pain and hardship was no match for the eternal weight of glory to come. What an amazing thought. Your present pain has the potential to produce incomparable glory for you in heaven. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your presence in my life. Thank you, Lord, for even my hard times. Thank you, Father, for even my unloving times. Because, you know, even in when we feel like we're not in love with anybody, God is still in love with us. Even when we're ugly. Somebody got to talk to me this morning. I know God has brought you through some stuff. Yes, Dee. Yeah. Yes. 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 Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's difficult, especially when for 4 years you had to go through that. But a good lesson in that is God's time is not our time. And sometimes he just wants us to learn how to wait. Not be so quick to try to solve our problems ourselves. Because if we just learn how to wait on him, if we just learn how to trust him and know that he'll bring us through whatever it is we're going through, you know, all we got to do is wait. Because he has the answers. Now that comes, that's a supernatural power. We can't do that in the flesh, okay? But it's a supernatural thing. It's God working in us and through us. Amen? Not always easy. Mm-mm. But God didn't promise it would be. Okay? Being a Christian does not exempt us from having difficulties. It does not exempt us from having trials. It does not exempt us from even falling short. Okay, but it does give us the assurance that even in those circumstances, even in those times, God is the one who's in control, not us. We have no control. If we just remember that God is sovereign, that he has all the power, that no matter what it is we're going through, and I do mean no matter what it is, we're going through. Even in those sinful things we do, God is in control. And we have to rely and lean on his promises, his word, that he will not leave you there. Okay? The word says that your sins are already forgiven because Christ took care of that on the cross. And the sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. The sin is already forgiven. What he wants and what he expects from us is that we acknowledge that sin. He wants us, because, you know, the Holy Spirit in us convicts us, you know, and lets us know, you know, that wasn't right. You messed up. Okay, so what God wants is for us to confess that to him and then ask him to help us not do it again. We cannot on our own stop doing anything. It's not in our power. Our nature is to be sinful. Amen? We were born into sin. And so in order for us to stop doing those things that so easily beset us, right, we have to rely upon the Jesus in us, okay, to change those things. And that's why would behoove all of us to take advantage of every opportunity to study his word so you can get to know exactly what it is he desires from us. To study his word so that we can know how to walk uprightly. To study his word so we know what to ask for, okay? Because we can't do it on our own, you know? I don't care how much we try, we can't. I love the Lord with all my heart, but I ain't right. I love him with everything in me, but I make mistakes. I do wrong. I don't want to, but I do. So I got to ask him every day when I wake up, I ask him to help me to fill my heart and mind with his love. To bridle my tongue, because I have quite a temper, okay? I ask him every morning, please, Lord, bridle my tongue, guide my footsteps, help me throughout this, walk with me this day, and thank you for giving me another chance. You know, yes. And right, and you could only know that through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to learn to listen to him more. You know, he's always trying to direct our path. Have you ever known somebody that said, go to do something, and then they do it and say, I should have followed my first mind? That ain't your first mind. That's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, but we get so hard-headed. He be trying to tell you, But because it's not what we want to hear, we ignore him. Amen? You know, so we have to learn how to listen more to him. And then you got to be careful, too, of who you're listening to. Because every voice you hear is not that of the Lord. But you can't know that if you don't know his word. Amen? Because if it doesn't agree with what's in here, that ain't him talking. Amen? So be careful who you're listening to. Amen? I've heard a lot of folks say, you know, the Lord told me so and so. Well, how come he told you and didn't share that information with anybody else? Or how come he told you to do that and it's contrary to his word? That's not him. Okay? That is not him. I had a young lady say to me once that prayer didn't work. Okay? That prayer doesn't change anything. Okay? That God doesn't change his mind, right, about things. That it's already made, God already made up his mind, it's going to be this way and that's that. And so I had to inform her, I don't, no, that's not true. Prayer does change things. Because if you pray, that means you have a little bit of faith. And the Bible says that faith, the size of a mustard seed, could move mountains. And this, doesn't it say that? Amen. So I said, well, what are you praying for? So she said she was praying for this man, right? And then she went on as we talked. This man was married to someone else. And I said, honey, God is not going to honor that prayer. He is not going to honor that prayer. He's not going to take that man away from his wife to give him to you. That's not what God is about. Amen? I said, so you can pray until you blew in the face. You can pray until Jesus returns. That prayer is not going to be honored. Amen. So when we pray, we got to be careful what we pray for. Amen. And when we pray, we got to know that, be careful that it's not contrary to God's word. But the one good thing, well, not one good thing, but one of the things that's good about prayer is that Jesus is always there interceding for us. Amen? Because the Bible says we don't know what to pray for. And so he's given us a paraclete. Paraclete only meaning comforter and intercessor. Okay? The Holy Spirit is there praying for what we really need instead of what we just desire or want. Because there is a difference most of the time. Most of the time we want the things and desire the things that are not always so good for us. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is there, all right? Jesus interpreting and letting God know, this child, she don't really need that. She needs some such thing, right? You heard Vicky's prayer, but that's not really what she's in need of. She's in need of this over here. And so I thank God that even when I don't know what to pray for, he's always there interceding for me. He knows what I need better than I will ever know what I need. Because I'm only praying in the flesh. Amen. He's praying in the spirit for me. Anyone else? You're going to get finished this lesson mighty soon. I'm not a big talker. I'm not a long talker. I don't preach long. I don't teach long. I don't do anything long. I think if everybody gets what I'm saying, then that ought to be the end of the lesson. Is that right? Amen. No need to keep on talking and you're just talking gibberish or foolishness, right? Amen. Baby girl, let us pray. Father, once again, your children have gathered together thanking you and praising you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the time you've allowed us to share in your word. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the encouragement that we receive through your word. We thank you that you empower us through your word. And we thank you, God, that we get a little better glimpse of who you are, what you desire, and how you love us from your word. We thank you, Father, for that knowledge. We thank you, God, that we will take this word and pray in the name of Jesus that we will use this word to uplift someone else, to encourage someone else. Father, help us be those disciples you desire us to be. You said in your word that if we love one another as you've loved us, by this men will know that we are your disciples. So use us, Lord, for your kingdom building. Use us, Father, to spread your gospel. Use us, Lord, to be a light in darkness. Use us, Lord, to be the salt that saves us. Lord, let your word be a sweet savor in our mouths. Let us hide your word in our hearts so that, Lord, we will not sin against you. God, allow us to just be more Christ-like, loving, peaceful, joyful, spreading the news in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.